And that would be Craig, the recording bot.
Okay, perfect.
Handy little fellow.
Yes.
I think I've talked about him before, but yeah, records us each as separate audio streams. So,
Okay.
Very easy for editing after the fact.
Yeah. All right. So you record it and then you edit it and then you post it as a podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's a pretty good pipeline. And Craig takes some of the difficulty out of it because he actually does, there's some behind the scenes stuff that goes on. So like he produces a auto leveled, noise reduced, sound balanced Audacity project. So I just download that, open it up, trim it a little bit if I need to, add some music, and away we go.
Wow. Okay. All right. Sounds good. So how did you want to do this?
I say we just go. Well, welcome back to Scouting Stuff. It's been a little while since I've actually put out a full-length episode, but going to try and get one more in before the Christmas break and New Year's and all of that good stuff. You've got two of us right now, but not the usual two. I am still Scouter Ken, of course. Happy to be speaking with you as always. But at the other end of the internet this week, we have Scouter Shane.
Hello.
Hi. So, maybe just by way of introduction, I'll get you to introduce yourself in a minute, but just to kind of frame it, hopefully some people, well, obviously some people saw it, Shane took advantage of it, but I put a little thing on social media, on all of the podcast's social media pages. That was just a quick little video I whipped up where basically if you want to be a guest on the podcast, consider it an open invite to come and join us. And the way you can do that is you can go to scoutingstuffpodcast.com and then look in the menu bar. And let me get the exact text correct here because I want to make sure that I have it right. But yes, so if you look in the menu bar at scoutingstuffpodcast.com, you'll see register as a guest as one of the options. And that'll take you to a little form and you can fill it out. There's not too many required fields on it, so don't worry about filling in everything. But that's how you can let me know, hey, I'd like to be a guest on the podcast. And then that gives me a way to get in touch with you. If you want, you can suggest some topics. And that is what Shane did. So anyways, yeah, if you're looking at it on social media, little video is there. There's a bit.ly link and there's a QR code you can scan. And that'll all take you to this same page. And that's how you can register to be a guest. And so anyways, yeah, that is what Shane did. So Shane, thanks for that and welcome.
Thank you. I didn't realize that was the only one that said, yes, I wanted to do this.
Just the first.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I mean, I literally posted that, a day ago? I want to say I did it yesterday, but it might have been Monday, but the week kind of just blurs together. So, you know, you just responded very, very quickly and, you know, we will see if other responses come in. And if not, well, you've had a couple of three topic suggestions. So, but before we get into any of that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. As said before, I'm Scouter Shane. I am currently the group commissioner for 4th Petawawa, located in the Ottawa Valley, for those of you who don't know where it is. I have been the GC for the past, I want to say, 3 to 4 years. I can't really remember because time flies when you're having fun in scouting. I've been a leader in this, in Petawawa since, well, my first stint was 2005 to 2010. And then I transferred groups. I was a scouter with the 63rd Ottawa, and I was with them until 2016. And then I came back to Petawawa. So I've had a lot of time in scoutings. I've been like the section leader, contact leader, various other roles, in scouting. And when I'm not doing scouting, I'm serving in the Canadian military, and I've been doing that for almost 30 years. So that's pretty much me. Yeah. Long time for both.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess depending on which branch, I don't know if you're allowed to discuss that or not, but I guess depending on which branch of the military you're in, like I had an ex-military venturer advisor back when, and you know, a lot of what he had learned I forget who he was with. I don't think it was PPCLI, but it was you know, one of the ground pounder regiments.
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of those skills you learn transfer over quite well to the scouting program. So, you know, I don't know if that has been your experience, but if it has, awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty much been my experience. Like, I'm in the Army. The rule of thumb that we have from our public affairs officer is always like, talk about what you know. And if you don't feel like answering the question, then just say so. So like, I'm like a human resources by trade. So the, yeah, I don't have a lot of like outdoor skills per se, but I've learned a lot along the way, sometimes through the Army and sometimes through people in scouting. So, and I've always liked scouting that wherever I've gone, I've met a lot of great scout leaders, and some of those scout leaders just happen to be in the military too. So I think we kind of gravitate towards scouting very easily, I would say.
Nice.
I'm not exactly sure whether it has something to do with like our founder being a military general and him bringing in a lot of foundational military stuff into the program, or whether it's just we like the structure.
Maybe both.
Yeah, I would say both.
And I mean, yeah, you know, because like we're not, Scouts isn't a military organization in any respect, but you know, we would be foolish to think that, you know, I mean, if you read up on the history of scouting, you know, even the kids in like Math King that Baden-Powell was having do certain tasks, you know, even those, and I mean, that little program that he put together in Math King during the siege was not, you know, it was not scouting, but some of what he did with the kids there did get incorporated into scouting. But he didn't have those kids serving in like actual combat roles, but they were running supplies around, they were running messages around, they were, you know, sort of just helping out the populace. And it was sort of a, you know, it was an early prototype of what's became scouting. And it was an opportunity for, you know, the kids to essentially be the helpers doing the non-combat support stuff that needed to be done for the people of Math King, while the soldiers were tied up with the actual combat stuff. So, you know, if scouting has some of its genesis there, I mean, obviously he would have approached that in the context of being a military commander in a city under siege. And I think some of that did translate into scouting, but at the same time, you know, we're not a military organization, but you know, whether you're out in the bush with your buddies or your squad, how to survive in the bush doesn't really change.
No. And that's actually right, because this brings me up to like two things. One's like a funny story, which I can get to. But like, I have had parents actually come up to me and be like, yeah, I would like to use this program as like a starting block to get them in the cadet program. And I would really like for us to concentrate on, and they listed like a fair bit of military skills. And I was like, this program's not for you if that's what you want. As much as I hate to turn away kids, when parents come to me and say, oh, we want to, that's one of the things I stand right away. I said, and especially in this community where it's like, yeah, there are people that come in and they know me like as a military person, and the other leaders, well, right now I have like a good portion of my group are military leaders because we're in a military community. But I tell them, I said, this is not what the program is. I don't teach drill. We don't teach like any type of like, you know, firearms. As in like in a military setting, like we're not going to take them out to the range once a week. We're not going to shoot a bunch of rounds. That's not what the program is. The program is about like, you know, outdoor experiences, and teaching the kids like skills related to that. So like, if you're looking for a program where you want a lot of military skills, the cadet program is. And as far as like the other portion of like, being surviving out in the bush, I was actually out on like on an exercise not too long ago. And my sergeant major turned to me and says, can you get a fire going? I said, absolutely, I can get a fire going. And I'm starting to get the fire going. The major, who's our company commander, walks past me and he's like, okay, of anyone I trust to get the fire going, it's, you know, it's me. Because they're like, this guy's a qualified scout leader. He should be able to get the fire going. And at that point, I'm thinking, I'm like, wow, way to put the pressure on. I hope this works. So thank goodness I was able to get the fire going, because I did bring, I I do bring, even when I go on the military exercise, I always bring like an emergency kit. An emergency kit, I keep like a couple of like just quick fire starters. And we had a lot of dry plywood, so like it was able to go very quickly. So I was like, oh, thank you.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Well, and you said you had there's almost not much more to be said about it, right? Because like it's like you say, and especially with like, you know, talking about the family that was, you know, essentially viewing scouts as like a stepping stone to cadets. Well, you're right. It's not that. We're not we're not a prerequisite for joining the cadets program. You want to join the cadets program, join the cadets program. And I know a few kids in cadets and they do a lot of the same stuff we do, but they also do stuff at maybe a more intense level, right? You know, like, we'll take our scouts on, you know, a multi-day camp, right? But, you know, like they've got tents and we're bringing along extra things of water and we've got the stoves and everything else, like all of the trailer or truck full of equipment that you would typically expect to see along on a scout camp, right? Because we do want to get them out into nature and we do want them to spend a couple nights outdoors. And there is some limited challenge there of, you know, oh, it might get cold, you know, like how do you stay warm in a sleeping bag in a tent when it's, you know, when it was like plus 15 all day, but oh, it's dipping down to minus one overnight. Like, what do you, you know, are you prepared for that kind of situation? We're not, you know, whereas like, I actually have one scout who is also a cadet and, you know, the stories that, that come to me, from them is, you know, oh yeah. Like we kind of, you know, we had a weekend camp, like they dropped us off, you know, in the middle of a forest. And like, you know, they told us, well, you know, your meetup spot is at such and such, you know, 2 days from now, good luck. Right. And it's like, you know, well, whatever you're packing in is what you have to work with. Right. So it's a very different challenge set.
And you could do that kind of adventure, like in scouting, there's nothing stopping you from doing it. You just need to be like, it's in a different mindset, because I always found that when you're going through the woods with your squad, it's vastly different than when I'm taking out, or when I'm out with my troop, right? Because for number one, like it's the kids, they're very much relaxed, they're enjoying it, they're like being very loud, when like me and my squad were being very quiet. And we're also taking like the bare minimum of what we need, where like scouting we're taking like I would say a little bit more. And I would say like doing this for as long as I've had, I've met a lot of Army guys that are like, get it. They're just like, yeah, we're going camping. It's not like we're going on exercise with them. So they come out and they're like, oh, well, this is a very nice setup. And I said, well, yeah, I said, it kind of has to be. I said, this isn't like we're out here like, you know, not testing metal, but it's like, you know, for training purposes. I said, we're out here to make sure the kids have fun and to be safe. And to do that, you need to take like a lot of extra stuff. So,
yeah. And yeah, like you say, it's not an exercise. And I mean, you know, wandering through a forest, like that's actually a really good example, because you know, I mean, if you're out on exercise, one of the goals is to hopefully move around relatively undetected. That is kind of a way to be effective in a combat situation, is to see the enemy without yourself being seen. Whereas, with the scouts, you know, if we're hiking along, well, geez, we're going to be stopping and having a conversation every few minutes anyway. And I think too, like there's an opportunity there. I mean, the scouts are going to be raucous and rowdy anyways, but you know, to us as scouters, like, I mean, at least, you know, when I'm taking the scouts on a hike, you know, periodically, if I see something interesting, right, like stop, call attention to it, have a little discussion about it. Maybe it's a particular kind of plant that I just happen to know is edible. Maybe it's, you know,
poison ivy.
Some kind of poison or profoundly not edible. That's the other one. Or like maybe it's some kind of like trail signage, right? Like, you know, oh, like look, what kind of dropping is this animal from? Or like, what do you think stripped the bark off of that tree over there? Things like, or I mean, you know, where we are, beavers are very, very active, right? So it's always fun to, you know, see recent signs of beavers felling trees, or like the half felled tree, right? The beaver's current project, but he's wandered away for a while. So you see like a tree that's been like half gnawed through, but it's not quite down yet.
We saw a bunch of those on our last camp. The kids were like, can we still use it for our shelter? I'm like, the tree's not going anywhere. I said, if you guys are here, I wouldn't worry about the beaver coming back. And they're like, really? I'm like, you guys make way too much noise for any wildlife to come even remotely near this area. So I said, go ahead.
No, feel free. I mean, he's done half the work for you, so you might as well finish the job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, and but that's the point, right? Like, yeah, we're going to make noise and we're going to stop and talk. And it's more about the opportunity to instruct and experience. You know, it's not an obstacle to be navigated so much.
Yeah.
So anyway, and, you know, coming back to, you know, when you had approached me via Facebook, you know, coming back to something you had mentioned, you know, it's an experience that both boys and girls seem to relish experiencing.
Yeah. And like I said, it's 2023 and I still get those questions where it's just like, yeah. Oh, can my daughter join? And I always tell them the same thing. I was like, I am a father of two teenage daughters. And like my youngest is in Ventures, like, and she loves it. And like her yep. friends, she's got one friend that she made, in Cubs and they've gone up together and like, they're really good friends. And like, I have like, the scout troop right now, it's got like, about, I think three or four, no, actually five now, 'cause one just registered. So we have five, girls in the troop. My oldest, she did Cubs for about a year. So like, you certainly can. I know like, people still consider like the guides and us as like two separate entities, but for scouting, it's always been like, if you have daughters that want to join the program, join the program. It's just as much fun. And I'm like, it's 2023 where we've, and people like, when I tell them like how long it's been a co-ed program, they're like, really that long? I'm like, yeah, that long. Like I have a leader here. She like went through the program in the 90s as a girl and like came yep. up through the program. And now she's like one of the best leaders. And she's, it's the same thing. She's like, how could people still? And I was like, I don't know what it is. And when I see like all the stuff that's put out for like all our promotion material and everything, you could clearly see in there, it's like boys and girls having fun.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
and you're right. Like I still get the occasional question too. Oh, girls can join scouts. Yeah. Since 1997 was the official go live date for co-ed across the entire program.
Yeah.
But then again too, like, you know, I say that was the go live date across the entire program, but technically we've been doing it since the 70s, right? I think in the 70s it was Rover Scouts,
yeah.
Venturer Scouts in the 80s. And then they started piloting it. And I remember like seeing a few girls in scout troops in the earlier 90s. Yeah. Because I think they started piloting it in scouts kind of in the early 90s.
Yeah. Well, I seem to remember that too, because my wife was in the venture program here, which would have been like the 90s when she did it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So like the older sections, they'd kind of been slow walking it in over a decade or a couple decades already.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, like I started seeing like some female scouts, like girls my age, when I was in scouts. And then 1997 was the official like go live across all sections. But I mean, and you know, it kind of depends too, because like in my attendance at different Canadian camps and jamborees, it was kind of, you know, interesting because you would see some groups that were like, well, and I guess too, like there was the, at least until 2019, there was the complicating factor of the LDS involvement because the LDS yeah. maintained it as a boys only program.
Yes.
But, the special carve out arrangement that they had. Now, of course, Boy Scout or LDS has since exited scouting as a youth program entirely. So that's no longer a thing. But certainly, if you had been from a place where LDS had been servicing scouting, you would have maintained the impression that it was an all boys program. Like, I think just outside of Edmonton, there's a little town called Devon. And I know there were one or two LDS troops in the Devon area. So yeah, maybe if, you know, you grew up in Devon, your impression of scouting was that it was for boys because mainly would have been because those were LDS troops. Now, not the case. So, but like even accepting that, you know, even kind of just bracketing that and putting it aside, you know, I can certainly remember seeing over the different jamborees that I attended, either as a participant or as an offer of service, there seemed to be like other factors that sort of influenced whether more girls were joining scouts or not. One of the ones that I always noticed, at least here in Alberta, this seemed to obtain for a while. I haven't looked in to see if it is still the case, but for a while it seemed to be the case that in larger areas, cities, essentially, you would tend to see lower female enrollment in scouting, not zeroing it out necessarily, but, you know, because big city, more population, you have the base of volunteers necessary to, it's like, well, you can have guides, you can have scouts, they can kind of both be there. And so, yeah, girls go to guides, guys go to scouts, and that's just how it is. But in smaller communities, lower population, you don't necessarily have that many parents willing to put their hand up and volunteer. So if you're going to put a youth organization in place, well, does it make more sense to have guides, which only girls can join, or scouts, which everybody can join? Huh. And so that's where I tended to see more like closer to parity in terms of like, you know, 50-50 male-female membership was like from the smaller communities. And then in the larger communities, like, I mean, like I run a city scout group and some years, you know, like I think 25, maybe 30% female has been our high point, right? Like we don't, and we're not even trying to have parity, right? I just want people to show up who want to be there, right? So, but like, you know, it seems to me to be the case that in smaller communities where there's less volunteer support, it just makes more sense for the scout group to be the thing that exists, because then the girls can join, the boys can join, and they can just have one youth program that kind of covers everybody versus a youth program that only covers half of everybody. Just my two cents, and very observational. No. And I haven't even looked at the stats to see if I'm anywhere near correct in that observation, but it's what I've seen.
Well, it would be interesting to see that. Like, I know, like, when I was a scout leader in Ottawa, I had like almost an entire patrol, because they were all friends. That was the thing. So I had like an entire female patrol, again, because they were all friends, which is something that I have noticed is like usually when it's like when you get that, they're usually like they're all friends from whatever, from another area. And I know like for most of the young girls that I have in the troop right now, they all know each other. Like the town is small enough and they do know each other in some way. Some of them know each other from school. It wasn't the reason that they joined scouting. Like I have one where, her brothers and two, and the other ones, I don't remember. I think they just sort of like were just. I'm not exactly sure. I haven't really talked to parents about like why they joined, because I'm at the point now where I'm just like, oh yes, you're in scouting. It's thank you for joining. I don't really ask the reasons why. But for a lot of them, they don't have any outdoor experience. I think their parents want them to be more comfortable being outside, or they want them to socialize more. And this is why they put them in the program, which is great.
Yep.
So,
well, I got two stories and a thought there. And like the first one is something I already said. It's like, at the end of the day, I want people to be there who want to be there. Right. And I mean, I've seen this with some girls and some guys, like some boys that have joined the troop as well. Right. Notably, we had this, I remember this one scout we had, and like every time we were on a camp, like he would barely eat, he would barely drink, he'd essentially starve and dehydrate himself all camp, and there was nothing we could do to convince him not to. And his whole thing was he didn't want to use the outhouse.
I've heard that.
And like, you know, at the end of the, his parents had put it, like there was a bunch of them that all, like you say, friends in the community, most of the rest of his buddies signed up. Some of them are still with the group. So his folks signed him up as well. And at the end of the year, we sit down, we do that, you know, program review. And we're just like, you know, what could we have done to make this all better for you? And he's just like, nothing. Like, really? Nothing? He's like, well, unless we're going to stay in hotels. No. Okay. You know, okay. The program is not for you, right? Like that. Fine. Yeah. You know, and if you don't come back, you know what? That's okay. Because, you know, not that I want to see the back of you. I mean, I think you're a great kid, but like clearly, you know, you are not where the program is at. The program is not where you're at. And that's okay. Not every, you know, we do talk about scouting being open to everybody. And it is, in the sense that, you know, we're not going to put any roadblocks in the way of anybody joining the program apart from cost, but that's a different discussion. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the program is going to be a fit for everybody, right? If you are, you know, and if you're the sort of kid who's like, I am not using that outhouse, not even once, I will starve myself so I don't have to go number one or number two.
Okay. I've met a fair bit of leaders that don't want to use certain outhouses because they're just like, it is positively disgusting in there.
And I'll grant that point, right?
And but when I you're was just, like, that's fine. Yeah. It happens.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, hey, Sheldon.
Oh, did he actually?
Either that or he's just doing like a test join, one of the two.
Oh, okay. Usually he's at lunch right now, so.
Oh, maybe that's why. Just testing it out. But anyways, so yeah, the two other stories, you know, because you mentioned that, you know, a lot of your scouts were already friends in the community. And I mean, we have a ton of that too, right? Like, you know, we service certain communities within the Edmonton area, but we're also kind of an aggregator group.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like we have scouts that, like, I mean, I don't live anywhere near where our group is based, but it happens to be the group that I grew up with. So it's cool in that regard because, like, you know, oh, my kids are wearing the same colors I wore when I was a scout, and that's awesome. But equally, it's you know, we're not in that community, right? So they're the friendships that we have are not based in that community at all. And but it's funny because, like, you know, I think about, you know, my eldest and my second kid, both daughters, who, you know, like, when my eldest was in Cubs, you know, I got a message from, and he's still with us now. Like, he's a rock solid scouter. He's awesome. But he messages me, and because I was kind of I'm not like the contact scouter for any section, but I run our website. And so he had put in a thing via the contact form on our website, reaching out, like, wanted to get his daughter involved. They lived kind of within our catchment, more or less. And he was just curious, like, could I come out for a couple of, like, trial meetings? And of course, yeah, absolutely. You know, you can have a couple before we have to ask you to register. Yeah, show up. Yeah. You know, here's where we meet. Here's when we meet. And
yeah, and considering, like, it's a bit of a commitment, you know, money and coming every week, then you definitely should encourage that. I do that too. Like, I had one, it didn't work out. She did not really like the program, but her mother wanted her to give it a try, and it didn't work out. But yeah, I was like, certainly can. And I always encourage that. We're not really like into, like, bring a friend to the meeting, because we're kind of, I don't want to push the numbers up too much where, the leaders will get overworked, but,
right. But
definitely if someone came out of it and said, I wanted to, then I would be like, yes,
absolutely. And so, like, you know, he reached out, and again, this wasn't a bring a friend, but it's someone, you know, reaching out, like, yeah, can we come and see what it's all about? Yeah, absolutely. Show up. You know, here's where we meet. Here's when we meet. You know, I'm Scouter Ken, just ask for me, whatever. And then, like, I briefed my daughter on the way to Cubs. I'm just like, look, there's going to be a new girl showing up tonight. She's not yet registered, but, like, she wants to kind of try it out. Make her feel at home. And oh my gosh, she delivered on that, like nothing I've ever seen, right? Like, this girl waltzed in, and Ella, like, wandered over, threw an arm around her shoulders, you know, it's like, hi, I'm Ella, we're going to be friends. And they just, like, walked off, and, like, she was right. Like, within 5 minutes, they were just fast friends. And I mean, he didn't even bother with the second meeting. He just signed up anyway.
Awesome.
And, like, they're both adventurers. And actually, that girl just got elected to be our CYC.
Awesome.
Right? Like, you know. And that's, you know, that's the beauty of the program, right? Is, like, if you get people in the door and you build them up, like, their trajectory is insane. It can be, right? But, you know, I think too, like, they don't live anywhere near each other, but they're really, really solid buddies. And actually, like, you know, my daughter's been introducing this girl to some of her friends at, like, birthday parties and other gatherings. And, like, this girl, she's published a novel, self-published a novel. Another of my daughter's friends is trying to write a novel. So now they're in contact, right? Like, just, they're doing better networking at, like, at 15 than I do at 40.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing to see. And, but, you know, like, again, solid friendship, but they don't live anywhere near each other. Or, like, you know, well, I think of my second daughter, who, you know, like, there's, and, but they, even if they aren't coming to you as a cluster of friends, they form them. You know, my second daughter is, like, really solidly friends with two other girls in her troop, and none of them live anywhere near each other, but the minute they get in the same room, they're just, like, magnetically attached. It's hilarious. Sorry, I cut you off. What was the thought you were going to bounce in there?
Yeah. So, like, I think, like, kids are more adept these days of, like, doing the networking, just because of like how we live and how easy it is to network when you've got like this device in your pocket that can facilitate a lot more communication than we did back when we were their age. Because if you think about back when we were age, it's
phoning
like,
committee.
Yeah, like your networking was like, okay, who lives on my street? Who is my age? Who can I hang out with? And that was pretty much it for your networking, right? Like if you had a friend that lived like, you know, four or five streets over, that's a little hard to get to.
Can be.
You know, so, yeah, exactly. So it's like you would see maybe that person at school. And so like, and if you were in like a program like scouting, like, you know, that was it for networking, right? Where it's like now you could like get on your computer, you know, there's lots of ways that you can network.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, for as much as COVID and virtual sucked, like I think it was really an accelerator on a lot of that. And that's a good, like that part of it's a good thing. But yeah, you're right. Like it's, it is cool to see just how much they're able to pull together. But I mean, too, like, you know, yes, there's more technology to enable that sort of communication. But also just, I don't know, I think, you know, it's just cool to see, you know, like my kids and the scouts that I've helped form in some way doing more at 15. And I don't just mean in terms of, you know, being able to socialize and whatever else, right? But like, there's no way I would have, you know, there's no way I would have put my name in the hat for, not that CYC really existed when I was 15, but if it did, there's no way I'd put my name in the hat. I didn't have anywhere near enough confidence to do that.
Oh,
there's, yeah. You know, I watched my daughter like, you know, skip her high school curling team. Again, like, I would not be doing that at 15. Like I just, and it's cool to see how you can bring people in and you can build them up and then they can take what you give them and they can just run miles with it. You know, that's the real power. I think of the scouting program is just, if you do it right, you know, maybe not, you know, and I mean, yeah, I don't think Ella's ever memorized how to tie a bowline. I'm kind of terrible at myself, but you know,
that's the vein of like my scout troop right now is like everyone's trying to, and we have this one kid, he's just like a not savant where he's just like, we're like, hey, can you like tie a bowline? And he's like, done. And we're like, wow. I'm like, can you tie? Done. And he's just like that, where like the rest of the scouts are like, he's actually teaching his mother, who's like our brand new leader, where he's just like trying to get her because she wants to learn like more knots. And I said, well, your son's like an awesome tool. She's like, he gets upset when he tries to teach me. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just see that work. He's like great with the other kids where he's just like, okay, you have, and I just watch him like work through stuff. And I was like, okay, this is good for him.
Yeah. But the point that I'm going towards is like, you know, okay, fine. Like maybe, you know, maybe some of the other skills that we do want to teach is like part of the scout craft branch or whatever else, like they might not necessarily be the strongest on that. But, you know, we also talk about scouting as, you know, in terms of like leadership, developing confidence as objectives of the scouting movement, you know, like it's just so cool to see. Actually, I, not with the scouting stuff Twitter account, but with my personal Twitter account, I saw somebody, I responded to somebody on Twitter a few days ago because, and maybe I should actually dig this up because like it just kind of, it set something off in my head when I read it the first time. And I was just like, there's no, let me see if I can find it here because yeah, here we go. So yeah, someone posted something to the effect of, you know, just read about teenagers being encouraged to show leadership. How the hell could I have led anything, scare quotes there, at age 16? I couldn't open a bank account, visit the park, write a blog, have a friend over for lunch or buy a gallon of milk. And I just kind of, you know, chimed in on that. I'm like, okay, well, thread of examples of things teens can do now to find leadership opportunities and scattered thoughts about the same. Join scouts or cadets or Leos, start a blog or a Substack or a Medium or a podcast.
Yeah.
Most of which you can do for free actually now. Join or start a club at school. Join the yearly drama play if the school has one. And I mean, I throw a few caveats on there, right? Some of those things do cost to join. Not all schools have a club infrastructure set up. Not all of them do drama productions, things like that. And everything on that list does still leave a teenager in some way reliant on their parents for things like registration fees, transportation to and from events. Yep. But, you know, it's kind of, I think what I was reacting to the most, and by the end of the thread, I had kind of zeroed in on this, I'm an external processor. Sometimes I have to actually like say it all before I realize what I'm actually like on about. Because I didn't like that framing because it was a very adult framing of the idea of leadership and independence, but being applied to people who weren't adults. And, you know, the whole thing I think that I ultimately came to was that, you know, yeah, you can't open your own bank account. And if you haven't learned to drive a car yet, right, in those senses, you don't have full independence and you're not necessarily going to be, you know, doing leadership in the same way that you as an adult who can and has all those things does. But that doesn't mean that leadership doesn't exist. It means that your framing is wrong. You're looking at it from the perspective of an adult.
Yeah.
But what you need to be looking at it from the perspective of is of a not quite adult, not quite not a child, right? Like that 15 to 17 range, where there still is a measure of dependence on a parent or a guardian for, like I say, things like transportation, registration fees, et cetera. But there's still tons of opportunities within those limitations to do essentially age-appropriate things in which you can take on a leadership role, like skip your curling team, like be a patrol leader or a troop leader or a council youth commissioner, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, I think sometimes, you know, I think one thing that scouting does well, and this maybe goes back to what we were talking about initially, is scouting, I think, does a very good job of grounding itself in the reality that the people it is dealing with aren't fully formed adults, but given that, it really does try to, you know, sort of maximize on their opportunities to challenge themselves, to learn skills, and not just, you know, the hard skills of scoutcraft, but also, you know, the soft skills of people and leadership and how to be part of a team. And yeah, it just does that in a way that's like very, very well tailored for their age. And then it kind of builds upon that by giving them lots of opportunities to actually put that into practice with their peers in the group, colony, pack, troop, whatever, the larger community, their council organization. And, you know, it does it, I think, in a way, hopefully, if it's done well, it does it in a way that lets them export that to other situations. The confidence that my daughter has, having been a patrol leader or an APL or a troop leader, and having to take charge of other scouts in terms of, you know, carrying out camps or carrying out challenges or carrying out events, or now as a venturer and being invited to come and lead meetings for the younger sections, the Cubs especially, really like having the vents come out. You know, she can take a lot of those same experiences of, you know, the principles of like how to lead something well, and then she can bring that over to her curling team. And as the skip, she can be large and in charge on the ice. And in like manner, you know, she can take her experience as a skip and bring that back to scouting and apply those, you know, same principles with her peers there. So it's like, but it's, you know, I still have to drive her to curling, but who cares? You know, once she's there, it's all her.
Yeah. And would definitely say that. And I think like that's one of the things, at least to me, it doesn't seem like for scouts, that leadership aspect is like one of the things I think that we need to be, it needs to be a little bit more front and center than what it is, especially when you're trying to get the teens into the program. And that's one of the things that I've tried to do with adventurers, where people just, and it's like another thing going back, people are just like, well, I have a teen, there's not really a program for you. And I've had heard this in my community where they're just like, there's not enough for them to do. And I was like, well, I have this program, and in this program, it's about teen or youth leadership. And people are like, really? I'm like, the venture program is very much focused on like team leadership, a lot of team skills, because you're going to work and plan your adventures together as a team, right? And that team only works when there's one person that's in charge. When I had the venture meeting, and I was like, okay, who here wants to be president? Everybody put their hand up. They're like, oh yeah, I want to be president. I want to do all this stuff. And I was like, hold on, would you like to hear the job description of what the president has to do? And then after I explained it, I was like, okay, now who wants to be president? And there's only two hands up. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right. And then I looked at one of the other kids and I said, well, aren't you involved with cadets? And I was like, yeah. I said, do you think that you're going to be able to do all this stuff that I just mentioned and still do your cadet stuff? I said, because you have a section running cadets, don't you? And he's like, yeah, probably. And I'm like, okay, so now we're down to one person. So,
hey, acclamation election.
Exactly. Right. So, well, we would have actually had an election, but like, again, it's like, and when everyone's like, oh, wow, that's a lot of work. I don't know if I want to do that,
yep.
But which is fine. But like I said, like they're going to work, they're going to plan their own adventures and you're going to do it as a team, but that team still needs to have a leader. So.
Yep. And I mean, it's an opportunity to learn about like effective leadership, right? So you're not just the person at the back of the group driving them forward with the whip, right? Like you're right out in front, you know, saying, okay, like, here we go. Here's the next thing. And let's figure out how to approach this next challenge.
Yeah. Well, I always tell them it's the leadership style you should be using is carrot and stick, but more carrot than stick.
Yes.
So.
Well, I've made that analogy in regard to like recruiting volunteers too, right? I mean, I try to be carrot as much as possible. That said, my current group commissioner was very much stick.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I don't like resorting to the test. It's like, you know, is there any way I can get my kid in the program? Like they've been on the wait list for a couple of months and I'm just like, look,
become a leader.
Yeah. Become a scouter. I'll bump your kid to the top of the list. And I guess that's kind of half carrot, half stick. Right. Yeah. Because it's a heck of an ask, but at the same time, there's a reward at the end of it.
Yeah. You got to remember that is one of the primary leadership or recruitment tools that they still teach is that they always say like the best. And they always say that, you know, they give you like the standard of like each group. So they're just like, okay, the person that we're looking for, the most ideal person is someone who's come up through the program. Then what's the second group? The second group is parents. And then you have the third group, which is the walk-ins off the street, which is what I am. Like all this time I've done it and all this stuff I've talked about for scouting, people are just like, oh, and they'll make the assumption and they'll say something. And she's like, you know, when you came to the program, I'm like, I didn't come through the program. And they're like, what? They're like, for sure. I'm like, I understand. I talk enough of the talk and people just assume that I came up through the program. I did not come up through the program. I never did scouting as a kid, it was the same as my brother. We both were just like, well, I'd like to say, and with him not here to comment about that, I got my brother into the program more so than me, because I've been doing it for about a good 6 or 7 years before, maybe even longer before my brother actually joined as like a leader. So I'd like to think that I kind of more or less pushed him in, but I know like he very much enjoyed the program. His boys have come up through the program and he very much enjoyed spending a lot of time with them, as I've enjoyed spending a lot of time with my kids as they come up through the program. But like for me, I just sort of came in where it's just like, I have a lot of time on my hands. I'd like to give back to my community. And scouting was the means for me to get into of giving back to my community. And I really enjoyed coming in and like going through the program and seeing like all the stuff that comes with being a scout leader.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, and I mean, you know, I've just talked about like our group commissioner was, I mean, he had some prior experience of scouting, but you know, he'd been out of the program for a long time. But he wanted his kids to join. And, you know, I would say he was very much that invested parent. And I mean, obviously invested, he's the group commissioner now, right? Mm. Or, you know, my daughter's friend, right? This dad who reached out, wanted his daughter to be involved. And, very much an off the street recruitment there. But, you know, it's funny because like he did the cub leader thing, he did the scout leader thing, and then he thought, he might take a bit of a step back with her moving up to venturers. Nope. He's right there still. And he's actually a really great compliment to the two venture advisors that we, you know, and I mean, they're both like, my daughter's venture advisor was my venture advisor, right? Like circle of life. same guy, which we laugh about a little bit. We're both getting old, but it's just, he fits right in, you know? And I mean, when you find people like that, right? And I mean, at the end of the day, the main motivation is, you know, they see something in this. They want their kids to have that something, whatever it is. And they're really willing to step up to make that happen. And that's cool. Anyway, I should probably wrap it up because I do have other things to get to today. But if you and your brother have time to talk later, then we'll maybe get another episode in the can. And that can be for sometime in the new year. But right. For now, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is awesome. And thank you out there for listening. And if you want to move from listening to speaking, there is now a form, scoutingstuffpodcast.com. Look for the register as a guest link in the top bar. And you too can come on and share your thoughts. We would love to hear them because scouting is so much bigger than just this handful of voices on the internet that I've been able to collect over the years. But thank you in the meantime for listening. And until next time, be prepared.